Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5 and 13. One of the least expensive and most abundant seasonings available today was once so scarce that it was used as money. To have salt represented wealth, and it was even taxed by governments. Until 100 years ago, salt was one of the most sought-after commodities in human history. It's the only family of rocks that are eaten by humans. It is from two substances, both so poisonous that apart would kill us, but together are essential for life. We cannot live without this chemical salt. The modern salt, by the way, before you put this one up, how many uses do you think are for salt today? 14,000. That's right, over 14,000 uses for salt. The modern industry has found over 14,000 uses for it. And do you know that your body probably contains about 250 grams of salt, which is about 9 ounces. And depending on the kind of work you do and the kind of athletics you're involved in, the human body consumes between 1 and 16 pounds of salt annually. Salt matters. You got to have salt to live. So when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," he's making some powerful statements. Beginning in verse 1, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men." All right. Just in case if you're just bored and really want to know a little bit about salt, this whole book by Mark Kurlansky in its 400 and something pages with a 40-page bib is about salt. So if you want to know a little bit about salt or more than you ever wanted to know about salt, just pick this little tome up and you can read it. So and it's really fascinating to understand because for us, salt is so abundant, so available, we don't even think anything about it. When Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, it doesn't mean to us what it meant to people in Jesus' day. Because if you take a look with me, I want to show four truths real quickly about salt. And the first one is the tremendous importance of salt. How important was salt? Well, salt was scarce. Up until 100 years ago, salt was one of the most sought-after commodities in the world. And in fact, men would follow animals and trace them to the salt licks because domesticated and wild animals both had to have salt to live. And so men would actually follow the animals. Instead of killing a deer, they would follow a deer to find its salt lick so they could dig up and have salt. A person who had salt was wealthy. Kingdoms were built on salt, and salt was taxed. It was so scarce, and it was expensive. You could trade in salt. Salt was a commodity that you could use. The Bible speaks often of salt. The Bible says that every covenant has to be made with salt. So that was an expensive covenant. It was a sign of wealth among ancient people that they would make a covenant, an agreement by a covenant of salt. Now, when we read that today, we think, well, that's not a big deal. But when it was hard to find, scarce, sought after, it was something to make a covenant, an agreement based upon trading blocks of salt because salt was life. And so salt was essential to life. We need it. They needed it back then. We need it now. People that didn't have it suffered all kinds of diseases. You can die without enough salt in your body, and you can also die with too much of it. Your body can suffer from it. But salt has so many properties. It is an important mineral. And again, the only mineral, the only rock that humans eat. So therefore, salt is important. But I want you to notice the tasty impact that salt makes as well. What does salt do? Why do we use salt? What does it do? All right, it flavors. Salt gives flavor. My wife, I eat tomatoes. I love tomatoes. I can slice up and eat a tomato sandwich. I can put a whole tomato, slice up a whole tomato and put it on. And I put salt on it. And one time my wife said to me, why don't you just leave off the salt? And I said, I don't even want to eat the tomato. Because for some reason, they just don't taste as good without salt. Salt adds such an amazing flavor. Now, she's cooked without salt, so we don't have as much in our diet. And I can taste it when somebody uses a lot of salt when they cook. But on some things, I just have to have some salt. Salt flavors. I like salt on my food. I enjoy it. I think most people put too much on, but I enjoy salt on my food. Salt also, what else does it do besides flavor? It preserves. Did you know that Clarence Birdseye, who founded Birdseye Frozen Foods, he couldn't figure out how to keep vegetables, and they ended up moving up to Newfoundland. And when they moved up to Newfoundland, he watched how they preserved the fish, and he realized salt could be an aid in quick freezing vegetables, and that's how the Birdseye Frozen Food Company was founded. He realized the importance of salt. And so salt preserves. Salt preserves. And salt does another thing. What else does salt do? What's amazing? Another amazing thing salt does? It heals. Salt heals. If you want to see something fixed, you just put some salt on it. If your throat's sore, you can take and gargle warm salt water, and it will help your throat. Now, you can't swallow it because salt is also an emetic. And that means, an emetic means it will cause you to lose the contents of your stomach, so you have to be careful. But you can gargle salt, and it will help your throat. And so salt serves as an amazing healing. It has amazing healing properties. It's been used through the centuries to bring healing to people, especially on wounds. People learned early on that salt was an essential. Salt has an impact in our lives. The fourth thing that I want you to see here that some commentators believe is the main reason why Jesus uses this phrase, you are the salt of the earth, is that salt purifies things. Salt brings purity to situations. And what most commentators believe is that Jesus is saying to us, we are to live lives that are so pure that they impact the society around us. That if we are faithful, that we purify society by our lives. In other words, when we are a faithful witness for Jesus, and we talk to people about Jesus, our lives are like salt. They bring healing. They bring flavor. They bring they preserve society. I tell you this, I really believe in a rapture. I believe the day is going to come when the Lord's going to take his people out. And I believe that we are the preservative force in our culture and that we are the purifying force in our culture. And let me tell you this, Christians, we need to be living pure lives this day. The day has come for us to say, and it's going to happen and it ought to happen, but we ought to be people that so live that we're so different that people around us are influenced by us, because salt, we as salt, ought to make an impact on the world around us. We ought to be different. You ought to be different from the world around you. If you're not any different from the world around you, you're salt that's lost its flavor. You're salt that is not affecting, because God intends his kingdom people to be salt that's different from the world around them. And that difference doesn't mean, I mean, you know, I know people that say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this and I don't do that. And that's their righteousness. But that's not necessarily salty. You lead a horse, you know, people say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can if you salt the oats. Because then the horse will want to drink. What we ought to be is we ought to be so salty in our lives that people want to know what is different about us that would cause people to want to take a drink from the living water. Let me tell you what I mean by that. What happens when you have joy? What happens when you are in this world with joy in your life and people see your joy? They see you walking through a store. They see you somewhere and you're singing with joy. It's a joy that just can't be put down. And people say, why are you so happy? What is different about you? It is Jesus living in me. When you have peace in the midst of the storm, when you can go through a trouble and trials come into your life and you can say, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. See, that's what ought to mark us as different. We ought to so live pure lives as salty people that the world can see a difference in us. We ought to purify society. If you're not making your workplace or your school or your home or your neighbors and your friends and your conversations, if they're not more pure because you're there, your salt that's lost its savor. See, you can impact. And God intends us to impact. Let me show you this. I want you to see not only that, I want you to see the timely influence salt has. Because salt really exercises its influence where? Yeah, but I mean, is it in the shaker? Does salt make its influence because it sits in the shaker on your table? When does it make the influence? When you get out in the world. You see, it's awesome that you come in here and sing. I love singing with you. I love worshiping with you. I love you opening your Bibles and reading God's word. I love your prayers when you're at the altar praying with me. But you know what? If this is the only time you're salty, we kind of failed, hadn't we? Because our influence is when we're shaken out into the world around us. We are salt that's called to be sought in the world around us. We ought to be making a difference. We ought to be flavoring an otherwise tasteless world. Let me tell you this. You watch humor today. The comedians' jokes, almost all of them tend toward inappropriate. They have to use vile language. They have to go to the lowest common denominator because they've lost their flavor. But you watch Christian comedians, and they're hilarious. And you know why they're so funny? They've learned how to be a tasty influence in the world. They've learned how to express themselves in the world in a fun way, without resorting to those things, because we can bring back flavor to the world. We can bring healing to a world around us. I want to tell you this. When you're out in society as salt, there are people around you that are hurting. They need your influence. They need you to touch them and make a difference in their lives. They need you to impact them as salt. They need you to bring a preserving power in their lives, healing power in their lives, purifying power in their lives. And this is what we do with salt. Salt only makes a real difference when it gets shaken out of the shaker. See, it doesn't really matter as much how you live here. It's how you live out there Monday through Saturday. If you're not a Christian at work, if people can't see you being salty at work, you can sing as loud as you want here. If you go out on Saturday night and you party and you live like they're heathen around you and you don't look any different from them, and then you come in here on Sunday and you sing real loudly, you're not salt. You're not salt. See, you ought to be salt on Saturday. You ought to be salt on Thursday. You ought to be salt at school. If you're no different from your friends at school, if you're doing all the things they're doing, if you're no different from the men at work, if every dirty joke they tell you, listen to, if you're no different from the people around you and you make no impact on them, you're not salt. I'm not salt. If I don't make a difference, listen, I want to tell you this, and you think, how can you as a preacher do it? Because you know what? Really and truly, it's hard for preachers to be salt. Say, why is that? Well, just try this experiment. Next time you meet somebody for the first time, just say, hey, I'm a Baptist preacher. No, just say it. Just see what happens. I mean, you'll find out real quickly. You'll find out what people think of that. It's like, oh, no, I'm busy. Got to go. And now, I mean, suddenly they're gone because they look at you and they're like in panic mode. A Baptist preacher's in my midst. And so they suddenly change their language and they act differently. And in a way, that's good because that is a salt purifying influence. But in another way, I can't make the impact you can make. But you say, how do I make it? I try to make sure that every person who comes through the door of our church hears the gospel. That's my goal. My goal is when the UPS guy comes in, I try to share Jesus with him. I'm praying for him by name. When the paper delivery guy comes in, I talk to him about his relationship to the Lord. The insurance guy came selling us insurance. I talk to him about his relationship to the Lord. Why? Because that's the only way I know to be salt. How else can I be salt? I go out and talk to my neighbors about Christ as well. I talk to people on the street about Christ as well. But I'm telling you, I've got to find ways to be salt in my world. I've got to get out of the shaker to make a difference. And if you don't get out of the shaker, you're not making any difference in the world. If people can't see Christ in your work, at your school, in your home, you're not salt. So what happens then when salt loses its flavor? Because you see, Jesus said this, and he warned them. He said in verse 13, if you look, no tragic injury that salt causes. Because you see, salt can cause injury. Listen to what he says. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor. Now that's a really strange translation of this word because that's not what it means at all. It means that the salt becomes foolish. Because the Greek word is from the word to become a fool. If the salt becomes foolish. Why does Jesus say that? Because the rabbis equated salt with wisdom. And when people didn't act wisely, when they didn't live with wisdom, the salt caused injury. In fact, let me give you three things it does. Number one, unsalty salt, that's what he really means, it's not salty anymore. And that happens, by the way. The actual salt doesn't lose its properties, but it can melt and it can be left. And because most salt is not pure back in the day, and it can, and the chemicals around it can corrode, and it can become tasteless and insipid. And what they do with it then is they throw it out, and they would sow it on roads because they didn't want anything to grow on the road anyway. And so they would sow it on the roads. When the Romans really wanted to demonstrate their anger against the people that they defeated, they would go into their fields and they would sow them with salt so that nothing would grow. And they would spread salt in them. But what happens when salt becomes, first, it defiles others. Because you see, what it really is, unsalty salt is just hypocrisy. It's saying one thing and doing another. It's putting on the form of a Christian and living like the world. It's not being any different from the world around us. And if we're no different from the world around us, if your lost friends, if your coworkers, if your family members can't see Jesus in you, then you're just a hypocrite, because they know you go to church. They know you make claims about who you are. They know that. They know what you claim, but they see what you live. And so therefore, you have lost your influence and you defile others. It's hypocrisy. But second, it destroys life. Do you realize hypocrisy kills your witness? I mean, I'm not talking about Jesus said it's from that point on good for nothing. You know, when you hurt your witness with some people, you just have to give up on ever hoping. You know, you probably never get it back. You're really stupid with some people, and for the rest of your life, they'll remember that stupid thing you did. And you'll never get it back. I know people who, in their past, they did things that they're ashamed of, and now they can't go to those people and talk to them. Their mouth is effectively closed as a witness. Look at them, and they see them with a bit of shame, because for some reason, they know that their Christian witness was compromised to the point that it has been destroyed in that person's eyes. No matter what they try to say, it's not going to come out right. And that's what Jesus warns about. It's not good for anything except to be thrown out. And so unsalty salt demands proper handling. Now, there's only two ways you handle that. You either throw it out or you make it right. So let me ask you this. What are you going to do with your life? Say, Brother Stan, I've done things that I shouldn't have done. My life's really kind of a shambles. I'm not where I ought to be spiritually. I'm unsalty salt. What do you do? Well, you can do one of two things. You can give up and just be thrown on the wayside, be another casualty of the Christian life. But I don't believe that's what the Lord Jesus intends for our lives. I believe he speaks this as a warning and as a challenge. And here's what I really believe he wants you to do and what he wants me to do. He wants us to get right. And you know, you can do that. You can do that. When I came to Christ, I went back to people that I had wronged, and I said, I sinned against you. Would you forgive me? And they said, yes. And I said, they said, why are you doing this? I said, because I've come to Jesus. And since I've been a Christian, as a pastor, as a missionary, I hurt people's feelings. I've done horrible, stupid, selfish, proud things. And I've had to go to people and say, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? And I've had to receive the forgiveness of many people. But here's what I determined. I would rather be right with people than be salt that has to be thrown out. I'd rather be right with God and get things right than to throw away the potential of being used by the King, because our King sees us as salt. He sprinkles on a flavorless, hurting, decaying world. And he intends that we flavor it, we heal it, we preserve it, and we purify it. And that's what our King intends from us. And that's what he calls your life and my life to be. Let me tell you this. If you're his, you can't avoid being salt. He didn't say, you will be the salt of the earth. He said, what? You are. What kind of salt are you? Let's bow for prayer. What kind of salt are you today? Have you compromised your witness, lost your testimony? If you try to talk to people about the Lord, they'd probably laugh because they know you. What kind of salt are you today? Maybe you need to come to the Lord. Just come to the altar and say, Lord, restore my life. Let me be salty again. Restore my influence. Lord, clean me up. Lord, don't let me be just cast by the roadside, thrown out, good for nothing. Lord, let my life count. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would speak the word of truth to our hearts and that we would be the kind of salt you've called us to be, not the kind that destroys, but the kind that heals, preserves, flavors, and purifies. Father, let us be salt that makes a difference in the world around us. Forgive us of our hypocrisy and cleanse us and help us to begin to live seriously for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.